Today Morning Edition begins a series on the roots of American music. It's called Honky Tonks, Hymns, and the Blues, and it'll take a non-traditional approach to traditional music. NPR's Paul Brown begins with some of the stories of the women who made a mark on music most often dominated by men.
Two future country music legends met at a California dance hall in the early 1950s. The few words they exchanged spoke volumes about the music industry. As Gene Shepherd recalls, Hank Williams was very gracious.
Hank said, "I hear you want to be a country singer." I said, "Yes, sir, I sure do." And he said, "Ain't many women in country music." And I said, "Yes, sir, I know that." I said, "I'm fixing to change that." And he just kind of grinned, you know, and he said, "Well, good luck to you, sweetheart."
In retrospect, Williams was only being honest. For years, the only women that ever made the country charts were part of family bands.
Oh, I'm thinking tonight of my blue eyes, who is sailing far over the sea. Oh, I'm thinking tonight of my blue eyes, and I wonder if he ever thinks of me.
The Carter family was known for sentimental songs of hearth and home. While such blues women as Memphis Minnie and Bessie Smith had already given notice that they weren't about to be pushed around by men, it was highly unusual for a female country performer to sing a song that smacked of any sort of independence. It did happen occasionally, though. In 1934, Zora Lehman recorded what's considered the first country song about divorce.
Hooray, listen, girls, I'm single. I'm single and free again. Found a judge that was understanding. I'm forever through with men.
Novelty tunes aside, our story really begins a few years later in the gin joints that started popping up outside of the East Texas oil fields and California migrant camps. These bars were populated by young men who needed a place to blow off steam. They were places to drink and dance, and not necessarily with your wife.
When you are sad and lonely and have no place to go, come to see me, baby, and bring along some dough, and we'll go honky-tonking, honky-tonking.
References to the term honky-tonk go back to 1900s black culture, but it came to define a style of mostly white country music, featuring amplified instruments meant to be heard in noisy bars. Many of the songs were good time party tunes, but for Gene Shepherd, it was the somber side of honky tonk that rang true.
Being just from a very average family, you know, a poor family, I could relate to a lot of these songs because we saw it happen to different families, you know, where the family was broke up and the mother was left with the kids, you know, and the man was drinking, you know. So I could relate to that.
My sweetheart is gone and I'm so lonely. She said she and I were through. So I started out drinking for pastime, driving nails in my coffin over you.
Honky tonk began to flower after World War II when many men came home looking to get back their old jobs which had been taken by women during the war years. Rosie the Riveter was now expected to go back to the kitchen. A 1952 song by Hank Thompson brought the tensions between men and women to the radio. He used the cheerful melody of the Carter family's Tonight I'm Thinking of My Blue Eyes to tell a sad tale of cheating in the honky-tonk.
I didn't know God made honky-tonk angels. I might have known you'd never make a wife. You gave up the only one that ever loved you and went back to the wild side of life.
A few weeks later, another country singer put a different spin on that tune. A matronly figure, clad in gingham, her name was Kitty Wells.
It wasn't God who made honky-tonk angels, as you said in the words of your song.
Up until then, Wells had sung backup for her husband, Johnny Wright. Mary Buffwack is the co-author of A History of Women in Country Music called Finding Her Voice. She notes that the shy mother of three wasn't trying to be a feminist spokesperson.
Kitty Wells was an established family-based performer within the country field, completely traditional in many kinds of ways, and this song wasn't written to be any kind of protest either.
Yet the Grand Ole Opry did not allow her to perform the song because it was considered too outspoken. Nevertheless, it was a sales sensation, and a year later, it paved the way for a 20-year-old Gene Shepherd to push things one step further.
You ask me how long I've been drinking and living this honky-tonk life. Well, listen, girls, I'll tell you my story. I'm a mother that was once a happy wife.
Gene Shepherd is very much a break from Kitty Wells in that she is a contemporary young with it woman at the time, and she's talking about working class culture that really didn't have many outlets at all. There certainly were women drinking in bars, and there was a female culture, and the female culture talked about sexuality and having babies and how not to have babies and what was going on in their homes.
Mary Buffwack's husband and co-author Robert Orman says that Gene Shepherd and Kitty Wells opened the door for such singers as Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn, but he adds that the Nashville music industry remained highly paternalistic for years.
There were several unwritten rules in country music that were evident in this town when I came here in the 1970s. One was you don't play two women's records back-to-back on the radio. Another was women cannot headline shows. They can't carry the bill. And women can't host a segment of the Opry. And that didn't change until the 90s.
We try and we try.
Pam Tillis scored her first hit in 1991. While women have much more opportunity these days in Nashville, Tillis says a number of glass ceilings are still in place.
The people running the labels in the higher executive positions are, I'd say, 95% men. You see a lot of women in secretarial positions, assistant, you know. There's very few producers, female producers. You know, I've co-produced and produced quite a few of my records, and a lot of women are either afraid to step up to the plate or not allowed to step up to that plate.
Tillis laments the fact that record companies continue to favor glamorous women on CD covers over thoughtful music inside, but historian Robert Orman insists many strides have been made in the last 50 years.
All these things that young women today take for granted were not in place during the honky-tonk era, and the honky-tonk women put them in place, all of them.
It was a man's world back then. Basically, it's still kind of a man's world, you know.
How come a man can fight and cuss and smoke and drink and chew, step out on their wives and do the things they shouldn't do?
For NPR News, I'm Paul Brown.
In the public's eye, they say he's just a man, but if a woman does...
Next week, the roots of the country guitar. Music samples and historic photographs are at npr.org.
If she drinks or smokes or tells a joke, she's the lowest.